Hey, everybody. What's up? Welcome to the podcast. I am Daniel Day, your host. And right now I am joined by Pastor John Dreher from Faith Assembly in Orlando. What's up, John? How are you today?
Hey, doing great. How are you doing, Pastor Dan?
Man, I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much. For those just joining us on the podcast today, we are talking about what it means to be a worship leader. And not just a song leader, but someone who guides people into the presence of God. And it's just going to be a fun discussion. And I can't think of anybody right now that I'd rather talk to than Pastor John about this subject. Man, I am such a fan of your work and your music and your team and your ministry. You're just awesome, man. And I just really appreciate all that you're doing. And thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And I tell you, since meeting you, you've shown me such love and grace, and I appreciate you. And we've got to work on you telling these, you know, little fibs about how awesome people like myself are. But beyond that, you know, God is really working in your life, so I appreciate you.
So other than me enjoying your gift, I'm doing well. All right. Praise God. Yeah. Well, listen, as we get started, I like to begin all my podcasts with a quick word of prayer. Would you please lead us and get us started in the right direction?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father, we honor you this morning and we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness towards us, for your grace and your mercy over us, Lord God. And we believe that your hand is on our lives and on the lives of every listener and every participator, Lord God, in this podcast today. And so we pray your will be done, Lord God, your word be spoken, Father, your spirit be felt and known in this moment, God. And touch the hearts, minister to the hearts of your people as we believe we're going to be discussing your heart for us. We honor you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Just to kind of break the ice, I'm going to throw some rapid fire questions at you just to kind of get us moving here. And okay. I think we're going to have some fun. All right. Growing up, what was your favorite worship song or praise song? What was that song that you just think of, you know, at a moment's notice? What was a good song for you growing up?
So this is going to be, I guess, maybe one of the cheesiest things ever, but you know, the old, like, Benny Hinn special, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like, that's, we grew up in church singing that kind of stuff. So, like, if there was only one song that I could sing to lead worship in any given moment, and you only have one chance, I'll probably start off with that one. That's the one I came out with.
That's awesome. You know? I would agree. I remember going to see Benny Hinn as a 17-year-old with my church and having that gigantic choir behind him, and you know, people have their opinions about his ministry, but I was there and, you know, God was moving. My wife actually was an interpreter for him at one of his crusades in South America. She was on the platform and saw miracles happening. And so, hey, that's cool. We have that in common. What was your favorite praise team? Like, who is the team that really, you know, inspired you as a teenager growing up?
So as far as church was concerned, I grew up with that kind of, you know, worship and what we call devotionals in the, you know, in that area. But I grew up listening to actually a lot of gospel music. And so it wasn't until my adult years that I really kind of got into like some of the praise bands and stuff like that. But there's a group that I started off listening to that was really forming in my, you know, in my upbringing. That was a group called Commissioned. I don't know if you've heard of them. But they're a group called Commissioned, and it was a group of I think six guys. Fred Hammond came out of that group.
Wow.
Some other, you know, well-known guys have come out of that group. But they would sing songs that were scripturally based, and they just had tight harmonies and things like that. And as a guy that, you know, also kind of, you know, grew up liking some R&B and like the guy groups and stuff like that, that had all those rich harmonies, they were very, you know, very instrumental in me wanting to pursue Christian music, because it was good sounding Christian music at the time as a young man, you know.
Very cool. All right, here's a funny one. Biggest pet peeve. All right, when you're organizing a practice for your team or organizing a worship practice and this happens, you're like, oh, this happened. Like, what's your biggest pet peeve when organizing a worship practice for your team?
Well, when organizing one or when having one, because
either way, you can do both.
The biggest pet peeve is just you showing up and not knowing your parts. Because we put a lot of time and effort into making sure that we have all of that available for you beforehand. And so when you come to rehearsal and you haven't even listened to the song once yet, it's a little nerve-wracking, but God gives grace to the weary. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so, you know, that patience,
so it comes somebody on through. Somebody shows up to your practice having not rehearsed. As a leader, how do you respond to that?
Well, I believe in grace and mercy. And just like the Lord showed it to me, I do my best to show it to them. I am an emoter. So I try not to wear it on my face, my disappointment. I grew up, you know, with, you know, hard-handed, iron-fisted, music ministers, but, thanks be to God, I haven't grown up to be that. So, you know, gracious. I mean, we're dealing with volunteers, people that have lives, and so lives happen and things like that. So they're not always going to come prepared, no matter how hard we try to prepare them beforehand. So it's all good.
All right, man. Cool. Last one. What was your most embarrassing moment while leading worship on stage? Most embarrassing moment.
I don't know if we're close enough to really, you know, divulge all of that.
Right. Come now. On now. We're brothers in Jesus.
I'll give you one of the best ones that I can think of without disgracing anyone else. Okay. But no, seriously. There was a time when we were singing, I don't know if you know the song Freedom. I was like, I'm going to clap my hands louder than before, dun, 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 whatever. And I went to clap my hands and I threw the microphone. And then I had to go get the microphone, pick it up and continue to lead worship. So that was fun.
All right, man. So I'm going to outdo you on this one, okay? Because I was leading worship for my Bible college. I went to Central Bible College and there's like 800 students and all the faculty. And I'm leading worship for it. And I got tongue twisted. And it was one of these spontaneous moments where you're getting everybody into it and you're worshiping and everybody's into it. And I wanted to say, everybody just lift your own song to the Lord. And what came out was, everybody just lift your thong to the Lord, lift your thong to the Lord. And I'm just like, yeah. I'm just like, wait a minute, what happened? I saw two of my friends on the back row, they fall down. They didn't get slain in the spirit. They're laughing. They're laughing. And every time I see them at general council, they're like, hey, Daniel, you lifting any thongs to the Lord? You know. Anyway, so yeah. I'd rather throw the microphone.
That's part of the game. That's, the casualties of war when it comes to worship.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, we're going to talk about worship leading and really what's the difference between leading a song and leading worship. And I know this is in your wheelhouse and we've had some fun so far, but let's kind of turn the page and really dive in. Tell us, what, in your opinion, is the difference between a talented singer leading a song and an anointed worship leader leading a congregation in worship?
It's very much like you said when we, you know, kind of started things off about how, we're all created to worship the Lord. And so, this is not a choice for the believer, right? It's not an option for the believer. It's a mandate. It's a requirement. It's expected of us as believers to worship our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to worship Him with all that we are. And so when we have people that are leading worship or versus, you know, leading songs, when we're leading worship, we're encouraging people to do what they've been created to do. When we're leading songs, we're encouraging people to sing a song. We are doing our best maybe to match the pitch, maybe to match the melody, to sing the correct lyrics, all of that kind of stuff, and just make sure that things don't fall apart musically. But when we're worshiping together or when we're leading worship, we are, like you said, leading people into the presence of God. We are encouraging people to do what they've been created to do. One thing that I think is important to think about and something that I talk with my team about, we talk about being an anointed worship leader. Worship leading is not a gift. It's not a gift. If you go through the giftings of the Spirit and the motive gifts and all that, worship leading isn't in there. But the anointing that's on your life is connected to the gift that God has placed in you. So as a gifted worship leader or as an anointed worship leader, when I'm leading worship, my gifts are going to be in action if the Holy Spirit is involved. And so now as a worship leader, if I have the gift of pastoring, I'm going to pastor in that moment and I'm going to lead the sheep to the throne of God. I'm going to lead people into the presence of God as a pastor. If the gift of exhortation is on my life, then that's going to be evident in my worship leading. And that's where the anointing comes in for worship leaders. You'll find that different worship leaders all have different giftings, right? And so the exhorter will exhort, you know, with power and with anointing during their worship leading to do what? To bring glory to God and to encourage God's people to worship him. The teacher will bring revelation knowledge to the lyrics that we're singing that causes people to draw closer to the Lord in that moment and give him the glory and honor that's due to his name, even based off the song that they're singing. The prophet, you know, that the word of prophecy, the song of prophecy, it all come as that gift is working in their worship leading. And so, you know, we talk about gifted worship leaders a lot, but it's not the worshiping that's the gift, because we all have that. We all can do that. It's the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God has given us that operate in our leading as we worship. And that's the difference. That's the difference. When you just have a song leader, you won't see those gifts necessarily in operation. But when you have a worship leader and they're operating by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, those of us that can discern will notice that there is a spiritual gift in operation as that person is leading.
That's huge. I have been in and around ministry and worship leaders my entire life, and I've never heard anyone explain it quite like that. That's really something I want to think about some more, because it truly is a tremendous and well put explanation. As you were talking, I was thinking about my family and I went to one of these amazing theme parks here in Florida at Christmas time, and they had a presentation of, you know, the manger scene and all this, and they were singing in perfect harmony some of the great gospel songs about the Messiah and all this, and it was perfectly presented musically. The harmonies were perfect. Zero mm-hmm. anointing, zero gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. Mm-hmm. And yet sometimes at Christmas time you might have a child on the stage, you know, singing a little melody of a Christmas song around a, you know, a church manger that they put together. And man, the anointing is there. It's like, wow, holy cow. The harmony might not be perfect, but man, God's presence. And so, you know, so there is this fine line, because I've seen you and experienced, you know, your ministry several times, whether it's at your church or at General Counsel or whatever have you. And the anointing is present and moving, and thank God for that. But it's also incredibly excellent in the music and the harmonies. And so it's obvious that you're not just leaning upon you're putting some work into it, right? You're yeah. practicing. So can you just speak to those in music ministry and worship ministry? Like, how do you bring the excellence of your gift, your practice, your harmonies, and at the same time, you're preparing your heart for that anointing?
First and foremost, you know, we have to realize and really internalize that excellence, as we look at it, is not based on anyone or anything but what God has placed on the inside of you, you know. And so excellence is not necessarily, you know, based on looking like, you know, Elevation or sounding like Hillsong or sounding like the church that you visited and that you just thought it was so awesome because they had the lights and they had this and they had that. You know, excellence is based on the measure of what's been placed in your life and what resources that you have to work with. It's giving God your very best, you know, just like when Jesus was in the synagogue and they were bringing the offering, right? And you know, we saw the widow with the, you know, bring the mite, and Jesus said that she's, you know, done more than all of the people that were giving the riches and all of that kind of stuff, because she gave up her best. It was an excellent offering. And so that's what we're doing. And so being excellent in worship and in praise and all that kind of stuff, and what we do is maximizing what God has given you, using the most of your resources, the most of your gifts, the talents, the people around you, not stifling them and not holding them back from giving their best as well. We collectively are doing the same. And so I like to kind of put it practically like this. You know, we know the word says that, you know, the Lord is enthroned upon the praises of Israel or of his people, we like to say. And so if we're going to create a throne for him to sit upon, why would we give him a rickety chair? You know, we don't want to give him that. We want to give him a plush throne to sit upon, right? So we want to give him the very best that we have. For us or for me, you know, I have a degree in music. I have, lots of experience in harmonies and groups and choirs and all that kind of stuff. And so my best is going to look like, taking those talents, those abilities, those things that God has blessed me to develop over my life, using them to their fullest to give God what he deserves. Everything we do it as unto the Lord. But for you, as a worship leader, you might not have 30 people on the platform. It may just be you and another person singing, or it might just be you on a piano and a guitar or whatever. You might only know three chords, but you better play those three chords like they're the best three that you got. And give them to the Lord, you know? And so that's what I feel. I feel like we ought to give God our best. He deserves our best. But our best is our best, not someone else's. Don't get trapped in the comparison game. Don't get trapped in, trying to reach someone else's status or someone else's benchmark, because that's not what God requires of you.
Yeah, no, that's huge. What do you think we're saying to God? This is just a follow-up question to what you're saying here. What are we saying to God when we show up unprepared? We haven't practiced. We haven't looked at the music before practice. We haven't even listened to the music. We're the first time we've put the notes together or tried anything or warmed up our voices is when we come onto the platform. What are we saying to God when we only show up to church when we're scheduled on the praise team? What are we saying to the Lord when we do those things?
To be fair and to be full of grace in the moment, right? It depends on the state of your heart when you're in that moment. If you're showing up like that because life happened, trials happened, the kids got sick, this and that, and all that kind of stuff. And you're persevering through your trial and persevering through your situation and through your circumstances to still make it to church or still make it to practice or still, that's admirable. That's God honoring. But if on the other side, you were just lazy, you weren't diligent, you felt like you had, other things that were more important, your leisure time, are things like that. And that this is something that God has called you to, then it's kind of saying that my priorities, I'm not necessarily putting you first in that priority place, preparing for worship, preparing to serve you in the way that you've called me to serve you. And that preparation is very important. We see in the Bible so many times, the instructions were given for the preparation of the tabernacle and the building of the tabernacle, and when preparations were given for what service was to look like, all of those things were very detailed. The instructions that were given were very regimented, very very important, and a lot of preparation had to go into bringing God what he desired and what he required. And I think a lot of times, as the New Testament church, we rely on grace and mercy, and that's all we can rely on. But I think there's some credence, some weight to realizing that if God required and appreciated being prepared to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and into our worship time, if he required such preparation before, I think it would be God honoring to do well preparing even now on this side of grace.
Yeah, so good. What are you doing to build a culture of excellence in your current team? you know, obviously you didn't start out on the current platform that you're in. You didn't wake up one day and get invited to lead worship in front of, you know, everybody at General Counsel and everything. And, you know, you are where you are today because you were a good steward of where you were before. Amen.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. So if you're building excellence in your team now, it's because you were building excellence on a smaller platform before. So what are some things you do to just kind of just begin to build the culture where everybody who shows up, they're showing up because there's an expectation that's been built around bringing God their very best?
I encourage my team to do that. I try to foster an atmosphere where that happens. My team is only going to be prepared as prepared as I am. And so as the leader, I have to make sure that they have the resources that they need before time, you know. So during the week, if we've got a new song that's coming up, or we've got let's just go that way. With a new song that's coming up, I have my MD preparing tracks for the team, or separating the parts, making sure that the guitarist knows what they're doing, making sure that the pianist knows what they're doing, making sure the drummer knows what they're doing. There's a great resource out there for those of you that don't know. It's a very widely known resource now, but multitracks.com. Not only can you buy for $30 every single part of the song, every single part of the recording, every different instrument already separated, but we'll take those and we'll make sure that that each band member has their part separated so that they can listen to and learn that part specifically, so that it's not just a hodgepodge of things being played. Same thing with the singers. On my end, I'll go into my office. I've got a microphone set up. I'll sing the soprano part all the way through the song. I'll sing the tenor part, the alto part, all the way through the song, and upload those separately to make sure that they have every tool necessary for their preparation. If I don't do that, when we come together, they're not going to be prepared. And it's going to take a lot harder work for us during our rehearsals. But as the leader, it's my job to make sure that that my preparation makes way for their preparation, right? And so that's where that excellence kind of multiplies. It multiplies because as a leader, I'm planting a seed and it's bearing fruit throughout the team. I'd love to speak to what you said earlier as well about, you know, maybe not waking up one day and being on a platform like this or whatnot. And, you know, Matthew, I think it's Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. I might be somewhere around the right address, but in Matthew, when he talks about the parable of the talents, he says to the ones that, you know, were faithful with what was given to them, well done, my good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a little, and now I'll make you faithful over much. And so what happened with me, I actually was in a church about, you know, on a very good day, if we had 200 people, it would be a blessing. I was leading from the keyboard, and it was just me and a drummer that was, leading worship. I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the team, a budget, non-existent. As a matter of fact, I was the only full-time staff person in our church, other than our senior pastors. Literally, I mean, you know, of course there was a process that went through all of this, but one Sunday, I was singing my last Sunday at this particular church of, you know, 200, no resources, but doing my best and being faithful over what God had given me. The next Sunday, when I was hired on at Faith Assembly, I was leading at a church of over 5,000, plenty of resource, everything I needed to do the things that God called me to do. But what happened? I was faithful over what I had and what I could do in the place where I was. And because I was faithful there, he made me ruler over much. And so now I have plenty of resources. I have plenty of teammates. I have all of the things that I need. But now that I have that, I can't just stop being faithful. No, now I'm being faithful with what I have now so that I can continue to serve the Lord with everything that I've got.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to wrap up our conversation. This has been tremendous. I would like for you to just give us a final word of encouragement. Speak to those who are worship leaders, worship pastors. It's their job to lead a congregation in music. What final word of encouragement or advice would you give them as we close?
Don't give up. Don't stop doing what you're doing. You know, we're talking about faithfulness. You know, Galatians says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. You might not have all of the resources that you want. You may not have, you know, the support maybe that you need or things like that. But God has a reward for you on the other side of your faithfulness. Your labor will not be in vain. What you're doing for the Lord will not go unnoticed. God knows your name. God knows what you're doing. He knows what he called you to. And he knows when you're weak. And that's when his strength is made perfect, in your weakness. So you can hold on. You can keep going. You can keep pushing forward. You can keep leading. You can keep singing. You can keep praising. You can keep worshiping no matter what, because God is with you. He'll help you be faithful. And when he finds you faithful, your reward is on the way.
Hallelujah. Well, listen, I'm going to ask you to close us out the way we began, with a word of prayer. Let's do it, man.
All right. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I honor you. Lord God, we honor you in this moment. And I thank you for Pastor Dan. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together. Lord, I thank you for every listener, God, every person that's under the sound of my voice, God. And I just pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you will continue to encourage us, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit. Continue to empower us by your Holy Spirit to serve you with all of our might, Lord God, and to do what you call us to do, Lord God, for every worship leader, every worship pastor, every person, Lord God, that's involved in worship ministry, music ministry, Lord God. God, we pray, Lord, that you'll just give us a sensitivity to your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and an awareness of what you've placed on the inside of us and how you want us to use it for your glory, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that we would hear you leading us and guiding us, Lord, as we try to prepare and do everything that we can within our power to serve you with excellence, God. And I thank you, Lord God, that as my brothers and my sisters, I found faithful in you, Lord God. I thank you that you leave them lacking anything, God. They won't lack anything, that they want nothing, God, but you'll show yourself as a good shepherd, Lord God, as a good father, as a God who never leaves nor forsakes, God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you'll comfort them in knowing, Father, that their reward is on the other side of their faithfulness. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we bless you, and we chase after you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Friends, we've been with Pastor John Dreher of Faith Assembly in Orlando, Florida. John, thanks for joining us on the podcast today, bro.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It was a blast.